B-Pod Studios.
Put the record light on. No, that's not the record light. That is.
Doing a rap party while Loren's eating.
Hold on. Give me a second.
Okay. We'll wait. Go ahead.
Oh, well, there's a lot of juice. What? We could have waited.
I felt the pressure.
Oh, my God. You still had like a good 30, 40% of that apple left.
I know, but I promised I wouldn't eat during the rap party anymore.
Screw them. Who cares? You do you. People always going to say something.
That's true.
It is unprofessional, okay, but who cares?
I know, but I didn't realize we were starting the rap party when I was still eating it.
I didn't realize I was starting the rap party when you were still eating it. I hit record and I was like, oh, she's eating that.
Okay, I'm finished.
Well, welcome to a rap party. We got producer Nicole in here. No Manny, just us. And we'll keep it kind of short and simple, although the last few we've had have been short and simple. But mm-hmm. I've been behind the controls. You know, Manny typically hits the buttons, and kind of my role while he's hitting the buttons is I'll try to ad lib, or Loren does her thing, I do my thing, Manny does his thing. And, you know, before we got this show together, my last show, I ran the board, and I was very much so a control freak. When mm-hmm. I got here, I did not like the fact that Manny was running the board. And him and I had a conversation, and I said, you know, I was like, all right, let me just give it a chance, you know, and I'll let him do it. And I would, like, give suggestions of what I thought, but, sorry, someone's calling me.
Answer it.
No, they want me to buy tile, but, yeah. But so I haven't ran my own board now in 5 years. You know, I've done it occasionally, fill in, you know, but Nicole brought it up. Every time I sit down and run the board, I talk about how much I want to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. It is a total control thing. It is a total type of personality because it is more work. It is signing up. Like, it's cooler to not run your own board.
Right.
It's cooler to sit back and be like, oh, well, someone else is going to run the board for me. But there is something about hitting the buttons and controlling it.
Well, you have to be decent at math, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of timing. You have to do a lot of timing, you know.
Like, that's where I struggle, because I am terrible, especially adding time.
I struggled today. We went in late, what, twice?
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, you would probably get better at it the more you did it, right?
Mm-hmm. And Manny's got, oh my God, when we first started, we were all awful. And Manny got, he's done so well of getting better of keeping track of time. But I don't know. I like hitting the buttons and controlling the bed music and
mm-hmm.
hitting the phone callers. But it is way easier to be like Charlemagne the God and just sit back and just give him my own spice.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the guy? Who's the one that runs the board over there? I don't even know all the cast. That's a good show, though. But
I don't know. I don't run the board down there.
Charlemagne the God, for those who don't know, he's another morning show host based out of New York. And I always find it interesting when, especially people in our industry, I understand from an outside perspective, like a listener, but when people in our industry treat them like celebrities,
mm-hmm.
we were at some conference and it was Bobby Bones and Charlemagne the God on a panel and they were talking. And then there was a meet and greet where people lined up for photos. And I don't know. That's so weird to me.
I know. I just, you know,
I don't idolize other radio. I appreciate and value their talent. I'm like, that's a talented radio host.
Right.
And they have a massive audience, and that's awesome.
I was just having this conversation with my au pair, Elena. We were watching the Demi Lovato documentary mm-hmm. that she just came out. And, like, you know, they show clips of her, like, performing, and then they'll interview fans afterwards. And people were, like, crying and, like, you have no idea how much, like, you know, you've touched my life and this, that, and the other. Like, people are obsessive over, they get obsessive over people. And I'm like, I just never really had that gene.
Yeah.
But, like, it worries me for, like, teenagers. who get obsessed with like NFL players,
especially
or
on social media now.
Yeah, because it's like, listen, everybody's got their own bag of issues. Like, they're people just like you are. They put one foot, you know, in at a time when they put on their jeans.
Yeah.
But they get idolized by these people, like they can do no wrong, and the obsession becomes so real. And I'm like, that's where people lose track of reality.
And maybe that's why I don't ever get so excited when I see other big show hosts, because I'm like, I don't get excited over artists. Every time I interview an artist, I'm never nervous interviewing an artist. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, hey, that's their thing. They do it.
Right.
People love it. I enjoy their music. You know, like I can say I enjoy Howard's show or The Breakfast Club or No, you know, Limit, or I can talk about Elvis. I could talk about all these shows I love, but I would never. And I would love to like go to dinner and pick their brains.
Right.
That's different. Right. Or like go out for drinks with them.
Yes.
That's different. But to, I don't know. There's a weird parasocial dynamic.
But you're not waiting 7 hours in line
to get
somebody's book signed.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I have so many other things I want to rather do in my life.
I would say the only person that I've even ever remotely been like kind of geeked out to meet was Garth Brooks.
He's a pretty cool guy.
And that was cool. But it's cool because he's so down to earth that it's just like it's not weird. You know what I mean? It's not like you're going and you're like, oh, I mean, me personally, I wasn't like going, oh, my God, I love your music. You changed my life. But like at the end of the day, Garth Brooks never changed my life.
Yeah.
Right. I enjoy listening to his music.
You may listen to his music at life changing moments.
Right. But he, like.
Yeah.
Even if I felt a song right in the moment. Like, that's a feeling. That's not a life-changing moment.
Sure. Now, Nicole's awfully quiet because we all know that she's a huge fan of Justin Bieber. And I think she would stand out in the freezing snow for 20 hours to. Oh, absolutely not, she says.
I don't believe her.
But there's a weird.
If Bieber was here in Charlotte and you knew he was staying at the Ritz-Carlton. Would you go and have drinks at the Ritz-Carlton to try to catch a peek?
Maybe something like that. Like, I might do something like that.
I might do that, too. That's not that weird. If I'm out drinking near, that's not as weird to me.
Yeah,
what's like, weirder is if they're standing on the sidewalk.
Right. Like I wouldn't go leave work and be like, all right, I'm going to post up outside all day.
That's
like,
weird.
I would not do that.
Okay.
Because it's not even like, here's the thing is it's like, and... You know, now, like, kids growing up in social media, it's completely different. But there's just, like, everyone, I think, deals with things differently. And music is, like, a huge way for people to cope with depression, for anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, music is actually a practice for panic attacks and, like, certain things.
Right, it can be therapy.
Yeah, so,
like, when I had a breakup, I had so many songs that were my go-to.
Oh, yeah, and, like, there's still songs that I can pinpoint things that I went through in my younger years, whether, you know, it was bad shit or good shit, and there are specific memories that I have that correlate with songs.
Music, sure.
But that doesn't correlate to, like... Like
for it's a feel, it's a
right,
feeling,
absolutely,
right.
and it helps. But there is a difference between knowing, like reality. Like that's the thing
right.
is that I think now with social media, with imagination, like kids these days have a foggy sense of reality, and they're not like we were. I don't know.
And like, stars are so accessible.
Yes, and that too. So yeah. So like I would not wait. But you know, as a kid, I remember waiting. With my mom at Walmart to get out at a Walmart to get a what's it called autograph from Aaron Carter. Like I remember that. Like
when your kid is different.
Yeah, like probably like a couple hours I waited, and I mean now it's the same thing as like when we do meet and greets. You just literally walk up, you get a picture signed by him, and then you walk away. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's
it's
nothing
not that
to
special.
It. Yeah. But yeah.
By the way, I love that she waited for Aaron Carter. I waited like 2 hours to get an autograph from whoever was driving Gravedigger, the monster truck. Like how stupid is that?
Yeah,
because they change drivers. You know what I mean? It's not like the same drivers.
Yeah. But like as a kid, like you might think an experience like that is like really cool, and that's fine. But I was just like, again, watching the the Demi thing, I was just like, if my kid was ever so obsessed where, like, they wanted their hair cut like that and they were, like, trying to morph into that person,
yeah,
I feel 100%. Like I would have to step in as a parent.
And to, like, now this is probably going to be a pretty unpopular opinion, but, like, Twitter and all of the quote-unquote fandoms and how, like, people have accounts that are literally just dedicated to the artist and like they're obsessing over the artist. I don't think that's 100% healthy.
No,
I don't either.
No, like,
but
all
it's
the,
everywhere.
Yeah,
the Blinks and Swifties. And-
yeah, like I don't know. I just I think it is healthy to have a favorite artist, to even be like obsessed with what they do in certain ways. But there's a difference in supporting and like an unhealthy obsession.
Sure. And these people will defend the artist even when they've done something bad, you know, they'll like still stick up to them, which you should never be that. Like I'm always can objectively judge someone's character.
Yeah.
These people, their visions of artists and these celebrities are skewed and they can't objectively look at it. But and I think about Jimmy Fallon. He's one of those celebrities. He's been on SNL. He does a daily show where he's on, so you know, he's on YouTube every night and he does jokes, but you don't see him on social media. He's not saying, oh, I'm here. He's not active and posting about where he is, and I'm good with that. I don't care to know what Jimmy Fallon is doing for dinner. Occasionally it's fine, but you're right. There's this accessibility aspect to it.
And
that's strange.
And because they're so accessible, like, people expect them to be perfect 24-7.
Yeah.
And nobody is perfect 24-7, right? But, like, I don't know. You almost feel, like, bad for the person who lives in a bubble, right? Like,
yeah, just like how we feel bad for Justin Bieber.
I mean, you don't feel bad for Justin Bieber.
Well, yeah, to a degree. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing that him and his wife can do normal, like
privately,
like,
right?
Yeah, like they there was a lot of, because I'm on Bieber TikTok obviously, so there's like a lot of videos of they tried to go to the Bahamas or something and you celebrate his album and, you know, like celebrate a lot.
Yeah, and there's got to be like an irritation to that, like, yes, you want to be grateful for your fans, but like there also has to be a point where you can shut it off. And if you're trying to celebrate an anniversary or birthday privately with your wife, like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't go out. But, like, what are you going to do? Live at home your entire life?
Yeah. I always feel bad for the, especially the kids that become super famous because they have to change their life dramatically. They can't go do normal things. But then on the flip side, like, people like presidents, like, one common complaint from presidents is that, well, I live where I work. Like, the White House is right there at the West Wing. He goes, and I can't leave the property. You can't just go anywhere because of Secret Service.
Yeah.
That I look at, I'm like, I don't feel sorry for you. You signed up for that. Like, go do your job.
Yeah, you fought for it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people have aspirations to be famous, and they become famous. That's a choice.
Yeah, but I guess I feel bad when it's kids. That's when I, like, Justin Bieber, I feel bad because there's a lot of development that is greatly altered.
And too, like, Halsey has a really cool line in one of her songs where it's like, she was 25 and should be living the dream, but she literally lives with a security team.
Yeah,
like, and she's scared to go out of her house.
That's some people's dream too. Like,
I think it's everyone's dream until they achieve it, and they're like, oh shit, what did I sign up for?
Yeah. But it's a lot of hard work too.
Yeah.
Like, you don't realize when people are on tour and they're, or even just getting ready to go on tour and they're dancing 24/7 and having to perform and be on, just being on, just doing a media tour is draining and having to be quote unquote on to go into radio stations or TV stations.
And be energetic and happy.
Yeah.
And
that's just me speaking from experience from being a cheerleader, like a nobody cheerleader, right? Like, you have days where you have to do all this press, and at the end of the day, you're like, I'm just so fucking exhausted from talking to people and being on and taking pictures. And that's stupid stuff. That's not even being on tour or filming a TV show 20 hours a day.
And speaking of stupid.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at backstagecountry.com.
Good stuff. The kids that become celebrities, they never have the opportunity to do stupid stuff without it being ridiculed. Like, I remember when I was young, I took a shotgun and I blasted a hole through a fence. If I was a celebrity, mm-hmm. not only would I be charged and sued, mm-hmm. but I would have to come out with apology videos.
Right.
Like, it would be a major issue for my brand. I would have managers coming to mm-hmm. me. Like, they don't get to make mistakes like everyone else does, which is, I guess, the whole point of Justin Bieber's whole Lonely song or whatever. Anyone else get older, I know that they sign up for it, and I know it's a lot of work, but how do we even get on this topic?
I don't even know. I think we were talking about stars and music. And
oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. You know, and Sterling brought up that point to me about that listener that was upset with me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there was this listener that I took the phone call off the air, and she couldn't listen to the show for like a year because I said something to her at Costco. And, you know, I was just kind of reiterating the importance of whenever we're out, make sure, you know, you draw a certain line. And who is that? Oh, hi.
Brad.
Welcome in. Engineer Brad's on the rap party.
No shorts. Thank you.
Engineer Brad, would you like to say something?
Something.
Well,
you got a hair's cut.
I did get a hair's cut. What'd you think of it?
I thought you were trying to do your mullet.
No, I'm not going to do a mullet, but I did tell them keep it a little bit longer on top.
That's what she said.
Does it look pretty? Does it look pretty?
Yeah. Where'd you go? Same place?
Oh, yeah. Love the place. Don't say what you're going to say. We're recording.
Well, that's the beauty of recording. You can edit shit out.
Well, I know what you want to
but
say.
But I'm not going to.
Callie's greeting you.
Callie's stretching.
I want to run the board now, Brad, because Callie has a lot of room over here.
Manny's been hogging it all these years.
And she can come over here and lay by the window.
She could lay in the window.
She could lay in the window. It seems to be a good fit for me and my now service dog.
Uh-huh. Where's the old guy?
He's in Savannah, Georgia.
Doing what?
Celebrating his 10-year anniversary. What'd you say?
Apples out, huh?
Has it been a swinger?
Yeah, he's celebrating the anniversary with another couple. There is some theories that he is swinging with another couple.
Somebody texted in today because Manny swears that Dallas and I are swingers, which we're not.
No, you're far too jealous.
No, I've tried 15 times to work magic. And
So Manny, like, swears, and I think he makes stuff up, but whatever. And somebody texted in and was like, well, maybe he's projecting because he's really the swinger. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, but, I mean, I could understand Amanda, somebody wanting...
Amanda.
But Manny?
Maybe they really want Amanda up. And he's just the...
he's just...
You got to take them together.
Uh-huh. He's part of the deal.
Yeah, that's what you get.
Somebody's got to take the ugly one.
Oh, stop. Manny's not ugly.
Everyone is pretty in their own way, Brad. Everybody's got qualities.
Uh-huh.
They do. I do believe that.
He said, uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
I do believe that.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I don't
even
understand.
The ugliest people are beautiful in some way.
Yes, they are. I agree.
They just didn't get blessed in the face category.
Yeah. I mean, bless their hearts.
So now he'll be back.
Nicole over there just taking notes.
He'll be back Monday.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So it's just us. Did you enjoy the show?
Yeah.
Did you listen to the show?
Nope.
that's why
I enjoyed
it. Yeah, I walked into that. All right, guys. That's the wrap party. Anything you want to say? How's your single life?
Are you single?
Still there.
All right, guys. Well, hit up Brad.
The hot tub has fresh water in it, though.
I didn't know you had a hot tub.
Yeah. I've had a hot tub for a long time.
Brad answers my FaceTimes in the hot tub. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Drinking champagne. I can be bougie, too.
You drinking champagne in your hot tub? I love that. It's getting a little warm for hot tub season, though.
That's not
Never
even a
too
thing.
Warm.
That's not a thing.
Mm-mm.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
I guess at nighttime it cools down and you can get into it, but I wouldn't get into it in daytime.
I mean, I wouldn't have it at 105 when it's 95 degrees out, no, but I might have it at 90.
98, 99 is about where I keep it in the summer. About 101 in the winter.
Okay. Well, I can't wait. Are we going to get into the hot tub when we come to your house and drink?
Okay.
Okay. All right. I may now get now prepare, though.
Blah, blah, blah.
Did I ever tell you the time? So one time we were in Pigeon Forge, me and Sterling, and I got into the hot tub, and I didn't know anything about water displacement. When I got into the hot tub, it overfilled because I'm a bigger man. He got in, by the way, the water didn't even move. I
water
got
went
in.
Down, right?
Yeah.
Like he absorbed it.
Yeah. I get in, and it was like the Niagara Falls in this thing. It poured everywhere, shorted out the thing. All the power went out.
You're lucky you didn't get killed.
Oh, I agree with you on that. I agree. Sorry.
Was that embarrassing, or do you laugh about it now? Why don't you talk about it?
So I don't really get embarrassed because, like, we were only maybe like a year or so into our relationship, and I'm like, it is what it is. You're dating a big guy. Like, you would sign up. Like, you know what you're getting into.
I own it, right?
I ain't hiding it. you know, you can hide photos. You can hide double chins on social media. When you're dating me, this is it. Like,
it's all me, baby.
Now, I can lose weight, and hopefully it gets better for you, but this is it.
But right now, this is the best we got.
I've got a friend who is, she's 55, and she just started dating again. So this is her first time ever dating online.
What happened?
She got a divorce and then finally it was final. So she started dating again. And I mean, I don't know. She started dating again. So anyway,
yeah. What's this about?
She says that she puts the absolute worst photos of herself up on her dating app because then when she walks in, she's just like
shock and awe.
Yeah.
That's not a bad move. I used to do something similar.
She's like, I find that men grovel at my feet if they think that I'm, like, decently attractive online, and then I show up and I'm a 10.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
55, huh?
Yeah.
Oh. Is that too old for you? Because I know you're single.
Yeah, she got money?
She's a hoot. Oh,
I like hoots. I like older people. I'm an old soul.
Yeah, you're an old soul.
And she's so sweet.
Well, maybe you can date her.
I think she's dating somebody right now. We call him Shelby. I've never met him, but you know, nobody gets a real name. Huh?
What's that matter?
Oh, that she's dating somebody?
I mean, as long as they're not exclusive,
yeah,
right?
I guess so.
She's 55. She's going to do what she wants when she
wants. That's right.
That is true. She's.
Where's my bell?
Yeah.
There's a thing about the older women. It's no, there's no games. It's like, this is it. You either in or you're out.
Yeah, that would be good for you. You need that.
Yeah, no bullshit.
You need the no bullshit in dating.
Huh? I said, I must be an old soul too then.
Well, yeah, you're no bullshit too.
No.
I'm kind of not either. I think we're all kind of no bullshitting.
Yeah.
I don't chase.
Except for Nicole. Nicole's into the bullshit.
You were on FaceTime for like 15 hours.
Really?
That's not bullshit?
Oh, that's a game. That's a move.
She's young though.
Yeah, she can do it. I can do it.
I'd been like,
good
dude.
I would never do that with anyone else. Like, that's the crazy thing is that this, like, I don't know. I've never really understood how like the saying, like, when you know, and like how,
yeah, no, I'm with you.
Like, I just never understood that. And I used to proudly tell people, like, yeah, like, you could find a new quote unquote soulmate no matter where you go. Like, if you were to move to,
you can fall in love with anyone, really.
Yeah. And so, like, I just always really, like, believe that. And now I'm like, what the fuck is this feeling?
You have a feeling?
Yeah, it's just different. Like, everything's just so different.
You gonna marry her?
Could be gas.
It's not gas.
Just go ahead and ask the deep questions.
So now you have experienced all the things everybody talked about.
Yeah,
I 100%.
Like, but don't you think, like, every time you experience it, you think, like this is it at the beginning?
That?
But I just think, like, every time you start dating somebody, and this is not to discredit anything that you're feeling, Nicole, I just think, I know in my experience, like, anytime I dated somebody and it was, like, new and exciting, and I was like, oh, could he be the one? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if I would say I knew Sterling was the one. It probably took about a month, because we started dating, I guess, like, in December, and by about January, I knew this was, probably in like a month, I knew this is pretty special. This is pretty big. And then we defined the relationship that February. So it took me like a month.
Mm-hmm.
We had one bad date where I think he probably wanted to break up with me.
Why?
I can't remember exactly, but we went to...
he does.
Yeah, he won't tell me. He just, he goes, because one day we drove past this restaurant. It's called Rock Salt. And he goes, was there ever a time in the relationship that you're like, I don't know? And I knew we just passed a place that we had like one of our first few dates. And I'm like, all right, so what did I do there? Because what did I do? Because something happened there. And I think it was because he took me to a seafood place. And at that time, I was not introduced to seafood. I did not like anything on the menu. I was complicated. I think I probably ordered rice and chicken. Like,
you were being a bitch.
I was being a bitch. And so I think at that day, I probably was super diva. Like, oh, I don't know. These chairs aren't comfortable. We got to move to a different table.
Yeah, but that's you. No, I'm kidding.
That is me. I like to be comfortable if I'm going to have dinner. You know, I'm a big guy. I'd have certain requirements.
Not necessarily a diva over it.
No, like I don't throw like a big mean fit or I'm just like, oh, these are uncomfortable, you know. But probably about a month in, probably that Super Bowl that the Panthers were in.
Which one?
The one they went. Was it 2016?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's probably the one.
They've only been in one since we've been here, so
yeah.
It was that one.
But they've been in two.
Not recently.
Since I've worked here.
Last 5 years?
No, since
we've worked here.
No. Because we were out that night at a Super Bowl party, and I was like, man, I really wish he was here, because I was into him then. But it took like a month. But I also don't think anyone's worth...
You got to let the newness wear off before you really
know. Yeah, and I wanted to be exclusive and date and get to know him a little bit better. And
they got to see you in the morning.
It took about 6 months to say I love him.
That's not it. That's probably good.
Yeah. Took about 6 months to say, I love him. I did, you know. But I don't think anyone's worth staying up until 4 o'clock in the morning on FaceTime with. I love my fiance, but if he asked me to do that now, I'm like, unless you're sick.
The first month, maybe. Well, actually, maybe week three, not the first couple of weeks. Week three, and then after that, it's like, I got to go to bed.
Yeah, I ain't doing that
shit. Like, when she had her last assignment, like, I mean, we FaceTimed when we were apart, you know, for a couple hours. But, like, that's the thing is, like, I thoroughly enjoy talking to her. And
you'll run out of things to say.
I mean, not really. I mean, not until, like, if we live together.
Yeah.
Like, our days don't coincide until we either see each other.
You're excited to catch up with them. And
there's times that I go home after the show. And Dallas is like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I just don't want to talk. I'm all talked out.
Yeah.
I've been talking for 5 hours. I really want to take a nap. All right, old man?
There is a part that scares me.
I do sometimes.
I worry with, because I already feel like I know him so well. I'm like, I wish I would have said, I loved the learning new stories and hearing new stories. I loved that phase.
Yeah.
That was such a cool experience. And Nicole's going through that. Yeah. Like you get to hear about their life and their new stories. And I feel like I've heard every story.
Them. Yeah. Hmm?
Things that define them.
Yeah. I mean, we've been together for 5 years now. So it's like, I've heard it all.
Have you?
Well, probably.
Holy, this is 30 minutes.
Yeah. 30 minutes.
Sorry.
Well, Brad came in. We had a little good time and we had a No Meanie today and we still did a big show.
And a long podcast.
Ah, F. Okay, we're going to go. We're tired. We're talked out. See you. Bye, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.